Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Candid, a podcast by Swatch and AMDA. I'm your host, Grace Brown, and I'm so happy you're here. Okay, so I'm so glad to be starting this episode this week. I was like so ready to record and everything just because I'm excited about it, but also because I'm kind of bored. I've been on my Christmas break for about a week now because my exams finished last Wednesday, and so I came home right after, and I've just been having a good time. I mean, I love being home. If you watch my TikTok videos or really anything that I put on social media, I am very vocal about how much I like being home, and I just think it's because it's just comfortable, and I just get to relax, and you know, where I live is very, very chill, I guess you could say. There's not that much to do, especially in the wintertime, but I love it. So I hope you all have been having a great break and it's been relaxing for you as well. I do have a few crazy plans coming up within the next 2 weeks. My parents surprised me with a trip to Nashville, which I am so excited for. I posted about it on my TikTok a little, but basically, we're staying at the Graduate Hotel, which is like the Dolly Parton Hotel in Nashville, which I cannot wait. So obviously, I've been planning out all my outfits and stuff, but I'm really excited. And if you have any exciting plans, reach out to me. Tell me what you're doing. If you're going to Nashville, I'd love any great recommendations for it. But yeah, I'm so excited. Jumping into designer of the week, this week we're going to be talking about one of my favorite designers, Yves Saint Laurent. I have been obsessed with him ever since I like knew about anything fashion. I think his bags are classic and I love everything that his collection has at all times. And I do feel inspired by him because he had a very young start. So he grew up in French Algeria. And he started to make paper dolls and play with paper dolls and make these cute little dresses for them. And he had two sisters and a mom. His sisters and his mom were really intrigued by this and they wanted him to design some of their dresses. So by 17, he was fully designing and making dresses for them. And then he went off to college where he studied fashion and competed in different competitions where he gained a lot of popularity, but one of the main people that noticed him was Christian Dior. He stood by Christian Dior's side and he finishes school and decides to move out of his hometown and kind of get like a new grip on things or get his start, you know, somewhere where people don't really exactly know what he's doing or recognize his work. So he competes in different competitions and he won a majority of them for young fashion designers, whatever. And in these competitions, he was beating people like Karl Lagerfeld and so many other young designers that we are very aware of now. So it's kind of cool to look at it from that aspect, just kind of how they all knew each other and would compete against each other, but also how they have these huge fashion brands. So because Christian Dior noticed how much potential Yves Saint Laurent had, he actually hired him. But although, you know, he recognized his talent, everybody has to kind of start from the bottom when it comes to fashion. So he was doing very mundane tasks each year at his job. That did not stop him, though. He would still submit sketches each year for the runway show, and many of his designs were actually picked. So he started to slowly get promoted, and then out of nowhere, Christian Dior has a massive heart attack and dies. So Yves Saint Laurent finds himself being the head person at the House of Dior at the young age of 21. I'm 21 right now and I could never. I mean, it would be a huge dream, but I just think that I'm still figuring so many things out that I could not be in charge of a whole entire brand, especially at the large popularity of Dior. So this actually had a lot to do with his mental health, and he was just, you know, he's so young. He's still figuring things out, and he did have a little bit of a nervous breakdown, which got him taken down from that position, rightfully so. And in 1962, he left Dior and created his own fashion house, which we all know and love today. Obviously, it was a huge success and something that he was very passionate and proud about. Something I love about Yves Saint Laurent was he was very social. So you see a lot of designers that aren't as social or don't get out as much, but he spent many nights at Studio 54, and he was known as someone who was very jet set. He would be in New York one night, in Paris one night, all over the world, which I just loved. And he unfortunately died from brain cancer in 2008, but he lived a very successful and full life. Not only am I inspired by him because of his young age, but I'm also inspired by the way that he had so much drive. And even though, you know, he had to take a step down at House of Dior, he created his own thing and it became very successful. And, you know, he still had fun with his life. I'm really happy that we got to talk about Yves Saint Laurent today. And if you have any questions about it or want to talk about him, please DM me on Instagram. I always say that. But truthfully, I will always be a supporter of him. Now moving towards trend of the week, should you spend or will it just end? This week we're going to be talking about gloves. I have been on WGSN all morning looking at reports because honestly I it's hard to be like trend or should it just end because I don't want to just do basic items because you probably already have them. So the reason I picked gloves, and I'm not talking about gloves that just keep your hands warm or, you know, are like for the winter. I'm talking about gloves that are for like a decorative accessory for your outfit. We've seen it on famous people like Kim Kardashian and really I've only seen it on Kim Kardashian, but I've also seen Amelia Parrish, which if Amelia, you're listening, she wore gloves to her formal. And I was really inspired by that because I thought it was so cute. They were like a black mesh glove, which I loved. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely going to be something. I feel it. So WGSN explains this as an item you would add to an everyday outfit to add everyday decadence. So a twist to summer dresses for those that are in between weather. So I can see this being a huge thing in March for celebrities or you if you choose to do it. And it's just kind of a way to experiment with different color and material. And it just seems like a very fun accessory. So even though it seems very fun and very popular right now, it does only contribute to less than 1% of the assortment mix for this time. But I can see it having a huge rise, especially because, you know, we went through that whole thing where we wore shoe pants. You know what I'm talking about? Where celebrities were wearing shoe pants. I feel like these are kind of on the same wavelength, if you know what I mean. Like, they're just different and you haven't been seeing them recently. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure, in my podcast, talking about how people are kind of into this Marie Antoinette vibe right now. And I feel like this is really giving towards that. And moving towards that also. The main selling point of this item is that it blurs the line between spring and summer, or winter, spring, and summer. So it's a cold and a warm weather item, depending on the material and color, like I said, which is really cool. I really think that, you know, I wouldn't wear this to like a darty or like a normal outfit. It would definitely have to be a special occasion. You see gloves worn a lot by people who do debutante balls. I did not have gloves for my debutante ball, but a lot of people do. So if you want to partake in this trend for special events or different things, here's what I recommend. Do not buy an expensive pair. The white leather gloves that are worn by debutantes and are probably the ones that Kim Kardashian wares are like $900. They're very expensive. So I would not waste money on that. And I wouldn't even spend $100 probably. You can find so many good pair on Amazon or all over the internet really for such a good price, like all under $50 easily. I know Amelia sent me the link to the ones that she wore for her formal and they were like under $20. which I loved. So while I do want to partake in this trend, I don't know if I'll have the opportunity to, because you can't just wear gloves, like, you know what I mean, with jean shorts or like to a college party. People would be like, what are you doing? I always say this, I don't really care what other people think of my outfits, but I just would feel uncomfortable because it's not the right time or place. Basically, definitely partake in this trend. Don't spend a lot, but only partake if it's the right time and place. Today in our main segment, we're going to be talking about alone time and why I value being alone so much. I know this sounds crazy and it's not really something that people talk about usually, but it really was a huge turning point in like finding myself, which sounds so cliche and so cheesy, but it really was. So if you're unfamiliar, I this summer was in New York and Connecticut and a few other places, and I was doing my internship, and I was so alone. Like, I was alone in a place where I knew nobody, and it was really scary at first, but it was like the best thing to ever happen to me, because I had to put myself in so many uncomfortable positions and situations and meet new people and become friends with people and live with people I didn't know, and just a whole world of things. And like I said, it was extremely uncomfortable, but it was something that helped me grow, because in order to grow, you have to be extremely uncomfortable. One of the things that really helped me enjoy this alone time was reading. And a book I read called 101 Essays That'll Change the Way You Think was like the biggest thing for me. Go buy that book if you haven't already. It is so good. But it really changed my outlook on life. And, you know, I used to be able to go to all these social events and put on a mask and do all these different things and make this person happy and this person happy. But now I just can't do it anymore, because I've become happy with who I was, like, by myself. And sorry, we're kind of getting deep into it, like, in the first part of this main segment. But basically, it helped me really pick and choose who my real friends were. Once you're so comfortable being alone and find joy in moments with yourself, it's hard to go back to a normal world. And I really did face a hard time in August, just making the transition from living alone to living with 6 roommates. And not that it was ever any of my roommates that were doing anything. It just was a huge adjustment to go out and be social again and make myself make plans when I was so content with being alone. And it is still something I honestly struggle with, because, you know, it's difficult to get together with people, and it's difficult to be social sometimes, especially when you've been out of it for so long. And that's why I'm talking about it, because you really do play the limbo game with being alone. When you're first getting adjusted to that whole feeling of being alone, you're very nervous, very on edge, very, you know, what is everyone looking at me? And like, do I look like a wreck? Am I being dumb? Blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole thing. And then you just get to this point where you're like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And if people are going to look at me, then that's fine. And like I said, being alone changes your whole perspective of like how you feel about yourself, and you kind of just fake it till you make it. But you know, when you're making plans with a friend, you have to get ready, you have to get dressed, you have to plan how you're getting there and blah, blah, blah. So it was a huge adjustment. But I think that spending time alone is something that I would recommend to anybody. Spend 1 month alone, like one summer. You know, college is the best time to really do it, but it's just like you really need to experience it, because it really does develop who you are as a person and become confident within. I was very fortunate to have this experience, and I know it's not a reality for a lot of people. And that's kind of why I'm wanting to talk about it and kind of give people advice that if you can't just go spend a month alone, there are plenty of ways to enjoy alone time and learn to love it without spending a month alone. A lot of people say that in order to be in your best friendships or relationships or whatever, you have to have self-love, which I agree with partially. The reason I don't fully agree with it is because when you are in a good friendship and a healthy friendship or a healthy relationship with somebody, you really are just looking at this person, and everything that you love about them is deep down what you love about yourself, because it's a reflection thing, if that makes sense. And that's why we have love languages and all types of different stuff. Which brings me to my first thing. Figure out what your love language is. If it's quality time, then take yourself out on a date. It doesn't have to be like go sit in a restaurant alone type vibe. Like, go to a coffee shop and just sit there and read a book or do something productive on your computer, but just be alone. And I did this every day this summer. I went to the Golden Pear Cafe. It was my favorite place in the entire world. Cannot wait to go back. But I just sat there and I would journal or read or do work on my computer. It really depended on the day. And it was so fun. And I was so alone, and I hated it at first, but then I really loved it because I would watch other people, and I noticed so many small details in life, mainly because I was learning about myself. I think something that we all focus on is being successful, and we think of it as a place that's like a destination, and which is something that I had to completely erase from my mind, because while I was sitting in this cafe journaling and doing a million other things that I enjoyed doing, I was also living the life that I had dreamed of and doing things and working for things that I had dreamed of. And I was still not feeling successful because I wasn't enjoying that present moment. No one single thing can summarize how you are successfully. Basically, not one location will ever decipher, you know, is she's successful or not. And that's really important to think about, because if we're always just working and looking forward to the future and trying to be successful, we're never focused on ourselves. And I think that's where a lot of us lose the self-love. Another reason that being alone and learning how to be independent and getting to this point of self-love is so important is because we have a million different opinions when we include family members, best friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, and it can ruin an experience for you. I listened to Emma Chamberlain's whole podcast about this a month ago, probably, and how about if you went to a coffee shop and you really like this coffee, but you were with your best friend and she was like, this is the worst coffee ever, it would affect your experience. And when you experience things alone, you don't have that. So you really learn what you like. And like I said, it's a whole mirror aspect. So what you like about something is what you like within yourself, and you're just pulling it out by doing this experience, if that makes sense. Like I said, it's not an easy thing to do to have these experiences or be alone. And that's why my favorite saying is probably growth is not linear, because it isn't. You're going to have bad days, but you have to let yourself have bad days when you're experiencing a new transitionary turning point in your life. And there were plenty of times I had bad days, or I would call my mom crying and be like, what am I doing? It was kind of one of those things where the first day that I was completely alone, I thought to myself, what am I doing? I talked about this for months. I am now here, and I was just kind of talking about it, but not really thinking, oh my gosh, you're actually going to be here. So it is a very scary thing, and a lot of times it doesn't feel like it's worth it to be alone or feel alone, but then you wake up one day and you realize, I could be alone for the rest of my life. At least that was me. And like I said, I know Emma Chamberlain talks about this quite a bit because she enjoys being alone. And it is a thing that is dangerous. Like I said, you kind of play limbo with it, because when you get so comfortable being alone with yourself, you feel like you only need to meet your needs, which is completely fine, and that's great. But when you're happy with yourself, there's no more uncomfortableness. Like, there's no more growth to be had. Obviously, you can always be growing, but that's why you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. So like I said, it was hard to come back in August, but it was something that I needed to experience again and have again, one, because it was my senior year, but also because I knew that my time was up for the summer as far as growth had come. And I feel like coming back to Auburn, I was a different person again, and it was just kind of a whole weird thing. I'm still figuring it out, truthfully. And it's been kind of like this domino effect for me. So I went to being someone who constantly needed to have someone with them and need reassurance, to being completely alone and content with it and not needing anyone, then to moving back in with people. And then I just kind of started to enjoy this uncomfortable factor, I guess you could say. And like I said, none of it had to do with my roommates or any of that. It was mainly just learning how to be social again. And it's so important to value your alone time, but also keep it from secluding yourself to what could be. And if I didn't put myself out there as much as I did this semester, I'm afraid that I wouldn't be doing this podcast, or I wouldn't be in a position to grow as a person. I wouldn't be doing many things. I wouldn't have been in the magazine this semester, and I wouldn't be uncomfortable. And that is all because I found comfort with being alone. And so now I'm going back to being uncomfortable, being social and putting myself out there. I guess at both ends of the stick, being alone, you're putting yourself out there by doing things alone. And being social, you're putting yourself out there by making plans and being with other people and entertaining and doing fun things. You also include other people's opinions when you are social. That can be a lot sometimes. I realize that. Basically, my whole point of this main segment is to preach independence and how important it is to take time with yourself and do things that you wouldn't normally do. Like I said, it's important to figure out what your love language is and really focus on how you can use that to put yourself in situations where you're alone and can grow. Sometimes in these situations, you do lose friendships, and that's okay. You know, people come into our lives at different times to teach us a lesson, and that is fine. I think a lot of people believe that friendships are supposed to last a lifetime, and sometimes that's just not the case. Actually, most times that's not the case, because if you think about it, you're constantly changing. If you're doing the right thing, you're constantly growing and changing, and other people might not be. So it's okay to outgrow people and outgrow situations that you're in, because truly, it is okay if friendships end and situations end. There's a saying that says, you can't grow in an environment that hurt you, or you can't grow where the water isn't available. Like, a flower won't bloom if there's no water. So if you're feeling sad about losing friendships or relationships through this alone time and through self-love, then know that, one, it's okay to be sad, obviously, but maybe they'll catch up with you, or maybe they won't. Why would you want to spend time with a friend or in a relationship with someone who doesn't support you or love you through all the versions of yourself? That's how I can really tell who a lot of my true friends were. Obviously, you choosing to put yourself first and getting to know yourself independently and through alone time is going to make you a happy person. So if you're a happy person and you're losing friends because of this, and you're losing friends because you've chosen to appreciate yourself and love yourself, then truly you should feel sad for the other people, because they will never have anything at all. Because they're never going to be fully stepping in to who they
who they are. You are by choosing the self-love and independent and alone time. But they may think they have it all with having nothing because they aren't enjoying their life to the fullest by choosing to grow or support people who do. If that makes sense. I read a quote from my book that basically summed that up, and it changed the way I thought. Basically, I hope that this main segment inspires you to kind of tap into who you are by yourself and alone and what you actually enjoy doing. I hope I've given enough tips for that, and I hope I didn't just ramble, but it is something I'm passionate about talking about just because I had to learn kind of the hard way, and I had to fully dive into a situation where I was completely unaware, and it was the best thing for me. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I feel like a teacher right now, but if you want to just talk or figure this out with me, I'm always available on Instagram DM. Like, seriously, I love when you guys DM me. I think it is just the best thing ever, and I love being friends with you guys. I'm so excited for the next episode because I'm going to be wrapping everything up. I'm going to be talking about my favorite things of the year, my goals for 2022, and so many other things, so be looking for that. Thank you guys so much for listening to Candid this week. As always, I'm Grace Brown, and I'm so happy you decided to join me today.